Have you done the before we start? Okay.
Oh no, I haven't done that.
We'll have to do it.
Well, I mean, you already know. Before we start the show, we'd like to let you know that we are on Patreon. That's patreon.com/3inthepink, 3 the word in the pink. And you can pledge, what is it, like $3 fucking dollars a month? Whatever the fuck you want, but...
Preferably more than five. Five yes. Or more. We won't judge you if you... I mean, we might judge you if you do three.
I mean, there's no point in three.
Pledge some money, more than the price of coffee. Get
more than... Wait, the same as?
Yeah.
And then you can get a bonus weekly episode. yeah, I mean, if you like this content... Share and subscribe.
Like, share, subscribe.
You're already here, so thanks. We've only got two with us today, so it's a nice, comfortable two again. You won't have to use too much lube.
No. Well, I hope, ideally not any.
Ideally not any.
You need lube for a thing.
No, I've got clients in my head. I just always think.
Right. Sex is different for
yes,
you.
Yes. I'm Apsy.
Oh, Apsy what?
Witana.
I'm Roma Burke.
You're Roman Firk.
I'm Roman Firk. This is the podcast about... Remember when we used to start the show with, do you know podcast, this is one of those or something? I know that was my idea, but I said it as an off the cuff.
I'm so tired. And then it became shite patter immediately.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to say shite patter stuff.
It's a necessary evil, yeah.
Yeah, you can't not say it, but you just need to get out and hate yourself a little bit. Mm. That's my episode title, by the way.
I think the episode title should be Islamic State Are You.
Islamic State Are You. That's also up there. This week on the show, that's not a note to you, that's a note to myself. This week on the show, we're going to talk about the death penalty, because this is a year 9 English class, or debate class. Yeah. I say that because we actually did study the death penalty.
And we had
to.
Too.
It was like English, but it was English language, I think, because you had to use, like, argue. It was like learning how to argue.
Right, like, and how to, like... put your cross-evidence, like writing, I guess.
It was honestly one of the most terrifying experiences of my life, because I think it was in year 9 and we all had to do like a presentation, and you were given you were allocated a before or against capital punishment stance, and then you had to create a little 5-minute debate point reasoning kind of thing. I think you even had to have a PowerPoint presentation being like, I think that it should be
giving?
Against. I think it was against, which is very easy.
Yeah.
And you had to do it to the class. We didn't have to do very much of that at school. And I was just like shitting myself.
What, because of public speaking?
Yeah. You had to be like, it's bad. What if they're wrongly convicted?
Then they died. It's not their fault.
Then it's not their fault and you can't reverse it. It's not fair.
It's just not
And then we watched Let Them Have It. The film with Christopher Eccleston. Did you have to watch that?
No. Oh. No, because we actually did that debate thing in RE for the death penalty and for abortion. Mm. I remember when I was like, I think I was like in year 8 or something, and I was like, abortion is really bad.
Yeah. Galaxy brain,
yeah.
I was level two
yeah. Galaxy brain.
Yeah, yeah. That's where the Nanette bitch, that's where she stopped. She stopped at year 9 level thinking.
I fully, like, my reasoning is murder. My reasoning was like, I actually went through like all the ways in which they do the abortions. It was grim.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, it's bad because it's really like violent.
Yeah. This is exactly what happens to a uterus. It is, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about the death penalty, hopefully in slightly more complex terms, but probably not, because we're just hating on Sajnav at this point.
Yeah.
He's come out in favour of potentially death penaltying some people if they do some things that are bad enough.
Should I do the rundown?
We're going to talk about climate change.
A change.
Yes, climat change.
A change.
And the fact that we're all going to be drowned by the boiling sea in 30 years. So that's for the juice, the OJ juice, free OJ. And then now I guess we'll just do some bants commencing now. Actually, fuck the bants, I can't be honest.
We'll do bants shit about bants. We'll pepper it with bants.
Yeah, there'll be bants the whole way through. Yeah. Shite patter when people say, X, it's my middle name. I know, like the back of my. I know the back of my hand. I don't know the back of my hand.
You know when people say, "This is like an internet thing crossover with shite patter." When they say, "I'm a simple man, I see X
and I click." Literally, go kill yourself. Go and kill yourself.
I see you, and I say, "Kill yourself."
Kill yourself. Oh God.
But don't kill these. But don't kill these guys. I mean, they're welcome to kill themselves if they want to.
I didn't start the clock.
They're welcome to kill themselves if they want to.
Yeah, and I am pro euthanasia, but that's different. That's a conversation for a different day. We're talking about the death penalty because. Do you want to lead the way, dear?
Well, I'll just do a little rundown of like context in case y'all don't know.
Yeah, warm us up, darling.
Yeah, so
foreplay, if you will.
Oh fuck! I got a fucking cat.
Don't get distracted.
Right. So two British men who were part of ISIL, who were accused of murdering Western captives back in 2014, remember that? Mm-hmm. They were like aid workers, and there were like these beheading videos that were shared. So they were British men who have since been stripped of their British citizenship by the government. But they were potentially going to be sent to the US with no assurance from the UK government that they wouldn't be executed. This was the Home Secretary Satnav's doing. And this like motion was condemned by the families of the people that they'd actually killed as well. So David Haynes, I believe, was one of them, one of the aid workers. Like his family said, basically made the point which we've all been making is that if these two men are executed, it's, you know, then there'd be martyrs, and that completely plays into the hands of the ISIS propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
This whole East versus West narrative that they benefit from. One of the mothers of the accused terrorists were as like pushed forward with some legal action. So they've suspended the talks with the US. So there's like a pause. So we're not really, I don't think we're in a position where we know what's happening.
Sajid Javid, I mean, when was this? This was a few days ago now. He wrote to the US Attorney General Jeff Sessions, which I've written as Attorney G, which sounds like he's a G, disavowing the death penalty, basically in certain circumstances. And it was a strange situation because of all of the UK's hypocrisy and misdoing and mistreatment of its own foreign policy, it's pretty staunch on the death penalty.
Yeah, that's always been
for like the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's always been like a sort of cornerstone of the human rights.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, the thing is, and Theresa May backed him up, and he kind of came out and said this strange thing for a Home Secretary to say, because it is kind of a party line thing that you just don't say, which is why it's kind of been criticised across the board, like Labour, like on the left and the right. Even if that does play into this silly, like, you, like as a country, that's not what we stand for. Because, of course, the UK is involved in lots of other kinds of death.
Of course, yeah.
Penalties. But yeah, I believe that after the backlash, she rescinded what he said, and he isn't really in talks with them anymore. But maybe they are just pausing them.
Yeah.
But it was a strange situation because it potentially points to a situation where, I mean, the Tories have been stripping away human rights since they returned to office 7 years ago. So they've been kind of dismantling the human rights laws and things that we take for granted ever since. So I guess this is another It may just stop now. This may just be like a scandal, but it wouldn't surprise me if they started in an attempt to cozy up to America and an attempt to kind of appeal to the increasingly working class base that it has post Brexit, to appeal to this kind of hardline anti-ISIS, anti-terrorism base that they have. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if it has something to do with that.
Yeah, and given, like, we discussed on a previous episode about...
I don't mean working class people are racist. I mean, the Tory party categorically has, like, statistically is got a new influx of, like, people who used to vote UKIP.
Yeah.
Typically, they've all moved over to... Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. But no, that's definitely the kind of voter that they're trying to appeal to.
Yeah, and it's working. I mean, they all voted for... They all did swing to the Tories.
But I think it's also... We talked about it in a previous episode about the UK's complicity in torture. With regards to the US. So I think this is not... It's not really too dissimilar from that. I mean, given that they... I feel like, you know, the torture stuff and the death penalty, those are kind of like human rights violations that kind of sort of go hand in hand.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting thing because obviously on the same day that Javid wrote to Jeff Sessions disavowing the death penalty, the Foreign Office proclaimed again in its like annual report that the UK opposes capital punishment. Mm. But it's obviously muddy, if we're pointing out hypocrisy and stuff, it's obviously muddying the water massively because included in capital punishment is torture, which the UK is very complicit in. And as we said in that other episode, where it's not complicit, it very carefully avoids being condemned or indicted in any way. But of course, we all know from Guantanamo Bay through to like renditioning people to countries where they know torture will happen, the UK has always been involved in torture. In that sense, like, I find all this, the outcry of this kind of thing, I always find it slightly laughable in terms of its hypocrisy and its like willful delusion about the UK's history and about its current political positions. Of course, the Home Secretary shouldn't be decrying the death penalty or saying anything other than we definitely shouldn't have it. But to imply that the UK has this perfect moral record that Javid is only now tarnishing.
Yeah.
A slight
and it's like
stretch.
Also with the language as well with the sort of report, the annual human rights report, it's very firm in the way that they word it. So they say, in all circumstances, the death penalty undermines human dignity. There's no evidence of its deterrent value, blah, blah, blah. And the UK plays a leading role in pressing for a reduced use of the death penalty overseas. So that kind of relates it as well to, like, international relations.
Mm-hmm.
But... Is it, you know, like you were saying, it's not really such a massive, it's not a massive shock.
Yeah.
And also, you know, this is the Dick on Saj Jav show. Mm-hmm. We know what his history is like.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's disgusting. The UK does, usually, it is fairly careful about prohibiting extraditions. Mm. It does make sure, to an extent, some people... won't get extradited, but Saj Jav is kind of like Trumpian, like in terms of Trump's cabinet.
Trumpesque.
Like, not Trump specifically, but the kind of people that Trump surrounds himself with. Saj Jav could be one of those people. Like really grossly connected to big business, completely devoid of political convictions or empathy other than accumulating wealth, and very much like an establishment kind of fucking, what's that word, like shoulder rubber. He's just one of those people. He's like really great. I mean, a lot of the Tories are, but he has a certain like
sliminess.
That reminds me more of, like, it makes sense that he would be trying to cozy up to the US on this particular issue, even though he has rescinded it. I think it does feed into, obviously, Islamophobia.
Yeah.
who we are willing to condemn to death and who we're not.
Yeah.
Although the reporting has been quite clear that the families of the victims of these beetles, ISIS the beetles,
Islamic State,
John.
Islamic State of that name.
I
though.
Know.
Is it?
I still laugh at Jihadi John.
Yeah, me too.
His name is Mohammed Emwazi.
It's a Jihadi John not... is a proper like Four Lions type name, isn't
it? It's a full on Four Lions. It really is. How do you go from Mohammed Emwazi to Jihadi John? Because it like turned out that they were from England. That's why they're called the Beatles, because they're from England.
Is it the media that named them that?
Yeah, it was like a tabloid thing, I think.
Islamic State.
It's just, I think it creates... As much as there has been an outcry, I think there will be people who that appeals to. This kind of hard line, we will not tolerate terrorism, this war on terror like language that politicians really love to use.
Yeah.
I do think it speaks to that kind of cultural anxiety.
Absolutely.
You know, like, yes, we're a country that historically most people won't remember ever that there ever being a death penalty. Yeah. It's just something that we don't do. I think most people... Or a lot of people would find it really alien. That it's really alien to me when I think about people in America being condemned to death. They literally die. It's someone's job to kill them.
Yeah, I think that probably if you did like a poll of, like an opinion poll of the general public in the UK, they'd probably pretty much all be opposed. Well, not pretty much, but they will. A lot of them will be opposed because it's a cultural thing.
Yeah, but if anybody was going to get potentially death penalty, it would be an ISIS person. I mean, these are the people that everybody... across the board is condemning to death, and it speaks to a slightly creepy decline.
Yes. Also, there's probably definitely a few, you know, if there's a few nutters out there who like see bus stops being vandalised, be like, did you bring back the death penalty? Yeah.
We all know that guy. That is usually a guy. Yeah. it's like, I don't think that we can conceptualise death very well as a country anyway. Or as a race.
Human race. Culturally we can't.
The policy that Sajdav was also... I mean, if you care about this kind of thing, he was going against UK policy, which dates back to 1989 when it was ruled that a prisoner couldn't be extradited to... If someone was going to get executed in the US, then the UK policy dictated that they could not be extradited. Mm. I think people were so uptight about it and, up in arms because it literally...
They probably were upright as well.
Yeah. It is illegal. And he did break the law. He won't be... He won't be facing any consequences course.
Yeah.
But he broke the law. That should have consequences. He should face the death penalty. Death penalty. Brackets for Satnav. That wraps it up quite nicely.
Oh, God. He's got such a fucking shit-eating grin. That is the only way
honestly,
I can describe
he's
the way
one
he
of
looks.
The most evil. It sucks that he's brown and he's a perfect poster for why identity politics isn't enough.
Yeah, no, I kind of like appreciate that he's brown because it's also like this.
Pale, but he's light-skinned.
He light-skinned. I feel like that's like, because that was sort of the appeal, or I feel like it was one of the reasons, it was after the whole fucking, you know, Windrush scandal, I felt like they really needed a fucking
they
brown
did,
face
but
on
there. Not that many people bought that, I don't think.
No.
Because a lot of people, especially post-Grenfell, because he was supposed to be the one dealing with that, he already had a lot of bad will towards him because of his treatment of Grenfell, which of course is the big, like, social, economic, racial issue. Of the day, so I think he's pretty much, I mean, he's been one of the most consistently grotesque additions to the Tory, or changes to the Tory cabinet, or just people in it. I mean, he really is vile.
Yeah.
In a way where he's just so transparently.
Yeah, he's got bulging eyes as well.
Oh, it's big, he looks, oh God, yeah, he looks,
just,
anyway.
It does make your skin crawl.
Yeah, he has the... Oh yeah. Anyway, let's not shit on him too much because that's the end of that. next up,
part
man's not hot.
Man,
it's hot.
Man
is.
Man,
hot.
It's a hot one.
Man's not hot. Man is hot.
Yeah, man's
like,
is hot.
Fuck me, man is hot.
Man's is hot.
So. One of the, I mean, we talk about Shite Patter a lot on this show, which, if you don't know, it's kind of like that gym, like kind of normie chat that you see online, like drinks with this one, or take me back when it's like a holiday picture, or like my office for the day, and then it's like a picture of a swimming pool or something. But the, like typical pre-internet shout power is talking about the weather, right? It's just what you talk about to cab drivers, relatives you don't see that often.
Just small talk, yeah.
Lift the chat. Smallest of talk.
Yeah.
Minuscule.
miniature talk in the elevator.
And yet, we're going to do that, just that, for the whole bulk of the show. We're going to make small talk big talk. Because, yes, there's weather, and then there's climate, and then there's climate change. Mm. So although it's kind of, I'm sick personally of talking to people about how hot it is, and yes, it is annoyingly hot. No, I don't have the right clothes for it. Yes, I am uncomfortable. Yes, I do wish it was, ooh, maybe like 5 degrees cooler.
I'm digging today. I'm digging it.
Mm-mm, no. No, not the rain.
I bless the rains down in Pollock Shields.
That's the episode title.
I mean,
I don't love it. I didn't move to Glasgow for fucking sunshine.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
yesterday the sky was just like edging all day, and then it came right at the end. Big gush. And it was worth it.
It got there, and it was. Yeah, yeah, it was hot. But the thing, I saw something recently where it said, of all the like however many hundreds of like news reports on the heat wave, it's often the top or second to top news story on all the news bulletins. Do you remember the news? Like, I don't watch the news, but then you go to your mum's house and she watches the news
constantly.
The bitch watches the fucking
constantly.
Yeah. Because there's only like, you know, 12 channels on Freeview or whatever. They just pop the news on constantly. And she's like, oh, have you heard about this?
It's my mum, I think my mum also enjoys watching the news because it's like her trauma porn.
Yes, you know, everyone's trauma.
Yeah, that she would watch it and be like, oh, like, I don't know, something, news story about some bus crashing and like a bunch of children dying. She'd be like, oh, imagine for the parents. Oh, it's so horrible. Oh.
My mum does the same thing.
It's like, turn it off.
It is trauma porn. Honestly, that is what the news is. It's just deliberate. It's designed to be like, for people to look at each other and talk and shake their heads and be like,
lament of this,
and be like, oh god, awful, isn't it? Isn't that awful? Can you believe that?
Yeah.
When I last time I saw my mum, I think it was around the Windrush scandal, and she was like, can you believe this? It's very earnest.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I can believe it.
Yeah.
Well, I know the government.
I'm woke, mum. Get woke. Okay. You silly bitch. Anyway, I love you, mum.
My brother sent me a message where he said, you know, because he worked with the elderly, and he said that sometimes he'll see in his notes that he's written like woke patient. And he's like, oh, that's because it's just how I woke them up.
This patient is fucking woke. This patient is lit. No, that doesn't work. Anyway, so there's hundreds of reports of, as we've all seen, constant weather reporting on the heat wave, but only one out of those hundreds, I think it was UK-wide, news reports mentioned climate change. Mm. And so, obviously,
probably a beast from the east didn't.
What? No. And a heat wave is obviously specifically relevant to climate change.
Yeah.
But that too. And the talk of, it's the, this, the UK has always been obsessed with the weather.
Mm.
Shite patter constantly, whether it's like when it's snowing, that's the news. And then when it's hot,
it dominates the headlines as well.
The first months of 2018 have been the hottest ever recorded. The sea is rising at the fastest pace, its fastest pace in 2,800 years. I mean, it's not just hot. I think it's fair.
Yes.
Like, man's hot, but like, it's not just because it's summer, because a lot of the time people get like, oh, it's fucking summer every summer. I know people who are like, oh, every summer it's just, we like freak out about the weather, but it's
not like this.
The hottest temperature ever recorded in the Sahara Desert was recorded a couple weeks ago, 51.3 degrees.
Yeah. And what was it that was like Scotland was like it's the hottest day since like the 1800s or something?
Yeah. We're reaching the hottest temperatures ever recorded. You can still be like, oh, well, you know, it's not. But when you start reading about like the coral reefs dead and the forest fires across all of the tropical rainforests, there's forest fires across Western Europe, there's heat waves. I mean, Glasgow has had a month of gross heat.
There's a lot of, I imagine, like, quite illuminating graphics to like represent the, you know, you have a look at all these. I saw this one that was like an animation of all the temperatures recorded over the, and it was just like they're all just getting redder and redder and redder and just like growing. It's quite scary.
I saw a study that said that it basically said that the 2 degrees cap that the temperature is supposed to be rising by was far smaller than estimated, and it's actually far more than that. So 59 researchers from 17 countries assessed previous warm periods over the past 3.5 million years and found the rate of warming much slower than changes seen today. And I think that people are only... It's weird, because climate change has obviously been a thing since we were kids. You always heard about global warming. But I think now we're actually starting to see like the localized effects of a climate change. And the study was basically saying, like, the world is experiencing a heat wave, and it isn't just a heat wave, it is the direct result of human behaviour on the planet. I wanted to talk about climate change on the show because, honestly, in terms of, like, leftist discussion, I do not see climate change up there with like wealth inequality and obviously worthy issues. Climate change is such a, like, overwhelming issue we face, and it involves such a restructuring of our economies.
I think is because we often talk about like capitalism and how to dismantle capitalism, and it's we obviously for obvious reasons because we're humans. I think we put a lot of emphasis.
I'm an alien.
I'm Grimes.
I'm other kids.
We put a lot of emphasis on human suffering and inequality and injustice. And I think for that reason, discussions about the planet are often sidelined. But it is a huge part of, I think, that it should be incorporated into just, you know, socialist discussions.
Because which it never is. I never see...
It was brought up in that... when I went to the Commie Fest in London.
We've talked about
that. Only briefly, I'm not sure whether because obviously I didn't get to go to everything, but when it was the kind of like, we were talking about the failures, the massive failures of capitalism, one of them was sort of talking about the fact that we're killing the planet.
Yeah, I
as
mean...
As a byproduct of...
Hundreds of species just don't exist anymore. It's quite successfully been kind of sequestered away from most political discourse, I think, the discussion of climate change. I suspect the kindest reading is that it's such a... Even just researching for this or reading about climate change in general, I just have to stop. If you read kind of daily dispatches from the scientific community, it's really, really disheartening. It's really, really distressing because it's so unavoidable. It's so real that any solution requires huge socioeconomic shifts that don't seem that possible within like the current parliamentary framework that we have.
It does
a little bit. And we were going to talk about this partly because of the heat wave and trying to root the heat wave in like in the fact that this isn't just a heat wave, this is climate change, and talking about the fact that we should be more worried than we are, I think. But also, you know, this whole, like, it started out as a joke, but the paper straw thing, that obviously it's, like, ableist to, you know, to say...
Demand that people stop using plastic straws.
Yeah, because some people need straws. But I think it's more important to talk about the fact that the responsibility for environmental change is so often like localized onto the individual because neoliberalism, and because when like in reality over 70% of the world's greenhouse gases are caused by like 25 global corporations. 100 companies are the source of more than 70% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions.
When we think about climate change and like the basic sort of things that people, it's often, as you said, the responsibility is often shifted onto the individual, you know, even just like local councils, you know, we encourage to recycle. That's something that you really learn to do when you're a kid.
And turn if you look at when you're brushing your teeth, and put the lids back on your jars.
And if you look if you look at the statistics, you realize that it's like negligible.
Yeah.
They like people, households, recycling.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, does fucking nothing.
If you've got the vast majority of greenhouse gases caused by the tiniest handful of companies, and I honestly can't even conceptualize 25 companies causing this level of destruction, but you also can. I mean, Shell, ExxonMobil, BP, Chevron, these companies.
Gazprom, I think, is up there.
Gazprom, the World Cup sponsor, is, I think, the second on the list. It's such a frustrating problem to encounter because most people, they worry about climate change, and obviously it's a problem of such enormity that you want to do something about it, and the kind of political culture has successfully reoriented that.
Yeah, it's people worry. Choosing to be vegan.
Yeah, it's like, it helps, but this, you cannot extricate climate change from capitalism, from the capitalism being like the rapacious need to create more from less and to not care about the destruction that happens whilst doing so. It's so obviously the result of big business, of a policy of mass accumulation of wealth.
Yeah.
It goes hand in hand with the biggest wealth inequality since the Great Depression, the worst economy since the Great Depression.
And it's obviously, it's transparent in regards to laws being put in place to not protect
the earth.
Trump is working to sort of reverse some of the Obama administration put in terms of laws for large corporations in terms of their greenhouse gas emissions and consumption, etc.
And the Paris Climate Agreement and everything that he pulled out of.
Yeah, I mean, they're all in each other's pockets, businesses and the lawmakers, so.
I mean, I remember Chomsky saying on the day, either he was inaugurated or the day that he won, America pulled out of a really important, it might have even been the Paris Climate Deal or a deal like that, that had serious consequences for the environment, and a lot of the government's or companies' moves towards renewable energy is purely PR.
Yeah.
Because it would require, honestly, I don't think you can have, I don't think you can stop climate change within capitalism. You've got people like Al Gore or whatever that think you just need to lobby parliaments and governments to kind of change the laws and stuff.
It's sort of like the sort of, it's like the Whole Foods market kind of ethics, you know, this idea of entrepreneurs making businesses out of ethically seeming companies. It's fucking fashion that's made from hemp. It's all this kind of shit. That's what's almost pushed. That's, you know, when you fucking all of the ads that show up on Facebook are shit like that, like eco-friendly businesses, fair trade, all of that facade.
I mean, it's pretty grotesque, really. And I don't think that there's enough like adequate discourse about what to actually do about this. I think this, again, the scale of the problem is so like massive, so massive. Yeah. I don't think that you can just tweak policy.
No, I think it's so massive. I think for the average person, it's almost impossible to conceptualize because of how massive it is.
Yeah, once you start reading about it, it's so depressing.
Which is why I think we easily revert to, well, I'll recycle and ride my bike instead of taking a car. It's that kind of
stuff. And you know, that stuff obviously helps. I guess you can, but I think it's important to be suspicious of any marketing move or any guilt that's oriented on you as a person, and any time that like lofty ideas like climate change are reduced to a tiny little kind of physical gesture like a paper straw or whatever, because it's just
a video that people have seen about turtles.
It's companies trying to stay afloat in this kind of increasingly woke social culture where they need to be.
But the animals can't stay afloat, can they?
Yes,
not if they're all dying. Not if the plastics are in their stomachs.
We're sick, man. I'm not an optimist about this.
No, I think for a long time I've always thought that there's no way. It's just the acceleration at which we're kind of reaching this point. It's like, I feel at this point it's impossible.
A little bit. I mean, there's rising seas, there's rising temperatures, there's increased extreme weather conditions.
Yeah, freak.
Weather. There are countries, one of the big, like the most potent injustices of climate change is that the countries that have contributed least to climate change are going to be the most affected. The countries in Asia, Bangladesh, which is in Asia. a lot of brown countries, basically. And what's going to happen is those countries are going to get swamped. There's going to be mass migration, mass wars over resources, huge populations moving further inland.
Mm.
And that requires huge wealth distribution, huge reassessing of resources. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've got paper straws, we've got turning the tap off when you brush your teeth, we've got fucking, you know,
5p like, charges for carrier bags.
Yeah, but there's gonna be like mass thousands of people, millions of people relocating across the world, and the wealthier countries, the ones that have caused all of this havoc, are gonna be tasked with taking in immigrants and people moving towards them because they're the safest places left, some of them.
So,
and
America, you done played yourself.
Yeah, well, but we don't have a good attitude. We don't have a good like our attitude towards immigration does not point to that going very well.
No.
It doesn't sound like we're going to go, oh, our bad Bangladesh, you come over here.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. We'll deal with it together and we'll drastically redistribute what wealth we have.
Mm.
It's that or fascism. Mm. It's like I increasingly feel like there's a line being drawn in the sand right now, and you're kind of like
in the Sahara Desert.
In the Sahara Desert, which will soon be green, apparently. Mm. It will, because of the changing conditions, it will not be a desert anymore. Yeah, go there for your holidays.
Green is in like wood.
I think so. I just read that somewhere. And I didn't examine what it meant, but that one of the changing things would be that that wouldn't be green. Yeah. But that's, I mean, call me a fatalist or whatever, but I don't see any other outlook when you read the dispatches and you read the reports and you see how extreme this is, and then you see the kind of like festering, pointless, middle, like tepid bureaucracy that goes into trying to deal with these problems. Like, it just seems.
Did you see that tweet? I can't remember who it was. Fuck. I think it was like some British comedian, but she tweeted and said, like, you know, there's. You know how a lot of people talk about unnecessary packaging in supermarkets for like fruits and vegetables?
Yeah.
And she said she went to the checkout and removed all of the packaging at the till before scanning it through. Or scanned it and then removed it all and left it there.
Okay.
And everyone was like, well, now you just like fucked it up for the minimum wage employees who now have to tidy. I'm probably going to put it in a normal bin. So, great protest.
Some like underpaid, like entrepreneur person that they haven't got on a permanent contract is just gonna have to take time out of their day and put that in the bin. Some white woman needed to tweet about how
I think it was a brown woman actually.
Well, still though. I mean,
silly lady.
And the packaging is kind of is give and take too, because the packaging stuff, we live in like a hyper like cleanliness oriented, hyper individualistic, obviously. Kind of clinical, like clean society, where if something isn't covered in plastic, we sort of distrust it a little bit. And there's been an increasing culture of detachment from the natural world, which goes hand in hand with needing this kind of physical barrier between like a natural object and you, which in this case is obviously like plastic, and you know.
Yeah, and I definitely do think those kind of things, like supermarkets, that kind of shit does need to be examined, because obviously I imagine, I don't know what percentage, but I imagine that their output is
rather large.
Yes.
Yes.
Supermarkets.
I mean,
huge.
Like the five. Yeah. I feel like the 5p bag thing is actually quite good. But it's
I just forget my bags. Yeah. You don't know.
I don't.
Yeah. Not at all. You ain't gonna spend a fiver. 5p.
But the plastic straw thing, I've heard people say that yes, it doesn't really make a huge difference because it's such a tiny amount of plastic that comes from straw production. But then people are like, it's good because it's made people think about it.
Yeah.
And that it's like, now that like individuals have started to think about it, maybe that means that they can put pressure on, mm-hmm. Higher levels of...
I hope so.
But at the cost of disabled people, I
guess. I mean, it just seemed like another way to kind of not change your lifestyle at all.
Yeah.
And just make a kind of single
make yourself
aesthetic
feel, and
choice.
Make yourself feel better.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, again, in an ideal world, I'm sort of tired and not optimistic right now. Mm. But in an ideal world, I guess people would be like, oh, the world is on fire. Maybe we should do something about it.
I mean, they are different. Bleh. Those kind of videos, the turtle one, I've never actually seen it, but they do play to emotions quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really sad to watch those. When you, the fucking, what's the name of that massive floating island of trash that's in the sea?
I can't remember, but I know what you mean.
But that kind of shit is fascinating, but terrifying.
And
seeing videos of animals in paint is really horrible as well.
I mean, it's strange because it's this kind of, I think there's a Lacanian term for this, but this kind of this ever-present evil that exists always at the corners of your consciousness, and we know that it's there. And as people our age, I feel like you learn about global warming kind of all the time at school. It was something that's ever present in your consciousness, but you, again, the scale of it, it means that it stays in the corners. It's a problem too large to behold and to do anything more than, because it's like when I look at the sea or I see the Earth from space, I just get that kind of like thing in my stomach because I'm like, fuck, the magnitude of it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with something like climate change. Mm. If you watch anything about, if you research, if you go into the black hole of researching it, or just watch Planet Earth, or any documentary about wildlife, or sort of start reading about this stuff, you quite quickly go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
No, it's just fucked. And we all know. Yeah. We live in this kind of very precarious state of knowingness, but complete impotence.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's really weird. It's kind of a weird cultural... Everybody knows. And the things like the heat wave, it's another instance of people know. Something's not right here. Mm-hmm. As much as people whinge about the weather, as much as it happens every summer, people freak out. We also know that there is something's wrong here. Mm-hmm. Why was it snowing at Easter? And then
it was fucking snowing in March.
Yeah.
A few months later, we've got a fucking
now
highest temperature.
Now it's 30 degrees in Glasgow. Yeah. For a month. More than a month.
Yeah.
That Glasgow's indistinguishable temperature-wise from Barcelona.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... I don't have a hot take, pun intended. Really, except that we need to drastically readdress. On the left, I think there needs to be a much more serious analysis of climate change, because if we are to rally, if the left is to appeal to more people, climate change is a universal issue.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That will affect literally everyone. Mm. And there needs to be more chat about it on the left, because otherwise it runs the risk, again, of looking petty and not concerned with real issues.
I think there needs to be an understanding of it. Not just, obviously, we can try to begin to comprehend the vastness of the problem, but I think there needs to be a connection to, like you said, in school, we always talk about global warming, and but there's no connection with capitalism and,
And it makes total sense that it's capitalism.
Yeah.
The lining of, the pockets of big business, it's built into the system.
I think we probably do I think the average person probably does understand that, subconsciously.
Yeah.
Because when we talk about global warming, when we see the images that are often associated with it, you see, massive
You see a Coke can floating at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, and you see like massive. You see like huge, I don't know what they're called, but those massive factories with the
big cooling
chimney. Yeah, all of that. That's what you see.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that it comes from big businesses and large corporations are like...
I feel like this, you can get kind of like wee about this, but you know, like that we are, I think especially this generation, we're kind of very aware that, that we live on a knife edge and the kind of like relative opulence with which we live and the material conditions that we are lucky enough to have come at a very, very real deadly cost that's becoming apparent to everyone. And it's not a hot take, it's not cool and like woke because there's not really much you can do about it, but it is true. Like I feel like you're one of the effects of learning about it for so long and then also realizing how impotent that runs you kind of just leaves you like you just sort of have this kind of lingering formless guilt that doesn't go anywhere, or a sort of awareness of like, yeah, we have like fucking Uber and flowers. Like we can buy whatever food we want. We have convenience stores. We have like avocados and shit. But it does come at a cost, and we're kind of culturally, I think, just going, ooh, just never mind. Just like turning our backs to it. Because what else can you do? Change it? No. This is gonna get too depressing soon, so we should probably just wrap up.
Because do you ever get a sense of excitement?
That everything's dead. Yeah, a little bit.
Like a kind of apocalyptic death
like
wish.
Yeah, like a nihilist. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, so I was definitely feeling it with the, like, heatwave stuff. Mm. Like, it's fucked, and everyone's gone, see?
Yeah.
And, like, we fucked it, the world's on fire. I guess that brings us to a close.
Mm-hmm.
Man's hot.
Man's roasting.
Don't even have any calls to action, really.
No.
Unless you have any influence on the left, in which case, put this, address this, think about it. That's all for this week.
Yeah.
Housekeeping, I guess.
Yeah, what to say?
We're on Instagram, 3inthepink, 3theword. We're on Patreon, 3inthepink, 3theword. We're on Gmail. We're on Stitcher.
We're on Twitter.
Yes, we're on Twitter. Apsy manages the Twitter. I think you can tell by the register of the tweets, if you know Apsy at all. That's why it's so funny. We subscribe, I guess, please. I don't know if a call to action to subscribe ever works, but if you could subscribe,
tell all your friends. We rely a lot on word of mouth as well.
Yeah.
So if you like it, just, you know, send your friend a link being like, I think you're fucking lovely.
Yeah, I think it's really great. And then like subscribe on like, we're on like Castbox.
Yeah.
If you don't have an iPhone, and obviously the podcast app on iPhone.
Yes.
Stitcher, all that. Leave
us it's important. It's very important to give us a rating and a review so that we show up on the
Our theme song is by Sunshower. Google him, he's got an EP out now.
Yeah. You like it.
That's enough though.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.